Heavenly Father, we just thank you as we come this morning. We thank you as your presence is already here. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have the freedom to come into your house this morning. God, we thank you that there is a freedom that we can come and walk the journey with each other, that we can sit side by side, that we can enjoy the company of each other, that we can hear and feel the presence of God. Heavenly Father, that we can partake in communion and celebrate what you have done there. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that. God, we look forward in an expectancy of what you are going to do. Heavenly Father, let your words just hover across this place, Lord God, we pray. Let your words just delve into our hearts, God. I pray this morning with an expectancy that there is chains will be broken. Heavenly Father, as we speak life, God, that arteries will be unclogged. God, that you will speak into lives, distractions will be gone. Heavenly Father, and that your name will be the only name. Heavenly Father, that our God will reign. That every word is a word that you want spoken, Lord, and that our God will reign. In your mighty name, amen. Amen. Thank you, team. Fantastic. Please take a seat. You know, we are really privileged, and thank you so much to the incredible team that play here each week. I also want to thank teams like the communion team. Guys and girls who get here early and prepare. They come early and they prepare so in order that we can partake. Isn't it awesome that people come to prepare in order that we can partake? Isn't that something special? So thank you to the teams who do that, the welcome teams who come. They come and prepare early. They come and prepare this place in order that we can come and be filled and partake. For some of our leaders, you may have heard me speak on this just a few months ago. But for Marella and I, as we prayed into this next step, what came really clear to us was a book. And for those who read books, I wish I read more, I truly do. But for those who read books, the majority of books have chapters in them. And we are very, very fortunate and we are very privileged that at about chapter 20 of the book, Pastor Lucas and Annie listened to God and they said to us, we want you to be introduced into the book at this stage of where it is. We weren't in the first 20 chapters. But they listened to God and they said to us, we believe that there is a change in the book happening here somewhere. And who knows, when you read a book, as you go through it, you go to a new chapter and you're like, man, I didn't know who that character was. Or I didn't know that plot, or I didn't know where that was going to go. But God did, because he is the author of the book. And so we are privileged to come in to the book. And what we've been very careful in our own minds and our own hearts to do is to ensure that we respect the first 20 chapters of the book. Because in those first 20 chapters of the book, some incredible foundations were laid in this city. In the first 20 chapters of the book, some incredible characters, including Pastor Lucas and Annie and family, and many, many, many people across here, have played a major part from chapter 1. And we have seen tens of thousands of souls won for Christ and lives transformed because of chapter 1 in the book. And our prayer, our family's prayer is, for the amount of chapters we're here for, hey, it might be one chapter, it might be numerous chapters, whatever it might be, that we will see 32, you're kidding me, that we will see thousands and thousands more lives won for Christ. And I am believing there is going to be many, many, many new people are introduced into this book during this period of time. And we will see leaders rise up. We will see people come in. We will see characters introduced into the book that we think, oh man, you're in a different book. You're in that horror book over there. You know what? They're going to enter this book. because we've got a message, and that message is that we're going to walk the journey with these people. We're going to walk alongside these people. So when you see a new character introduced into the book, in these chapters, I want you to embrace them. I want you to gather them side by side. And if you think they should have been in the other book over there, bring them into this book and say, do you know what? I am walking side by side with you. Because God is the author of this book and He has got mighty plans for this place. And we are incredibly privileged to be able to be part of that. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. The book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, is actually a book of great beginnings. It's a book of anticipation. It's a book about starting the starting line. It's kind of like getting set, ready to go. It's also a book of tragic endings. It's also a book of unfulfilled work. It's an incredible book. I encourage you to read it. Today, I want to briefly focus on an episode in the life of David. David's story transverses so much of the Bible. And I could have given you many, many references of where we could go, but we want to start in 1 Samuel. I want you to encourage you, just as we speak on this, I want to encourage you to get into characters like David and Noah and Daniel and Esther. These are not Walt Disney productions. No, I want you to understand that these are not things that have been made up in some studio and we end up with them on the movie screen. We may not face snarling lions like Daniel. We may not be required to build a boat the size of a stadium. But we do face challenges every day, and we can learn and apply the principles of what God's word said in our lives every day. Because who knows, that we may not have a lion sitting here trying to rip us apart, but when we walk out the door on a Monday morning, we face lions every day. So I want to encourage you to get into these. One of the ways you can do that, because for some people it's a challenge to read the word. For some people it's a challenge to get into this. And for me to just say to you, right, go into 1 Samuel, you're going to read this, and it says, well, there was wars and tens of thousands of people were dead, and you're going like, well, seriously, what's this book? What I encourage you to do as we walk this journey together is get connected with other people. We have 19, 20 connect groups right across this city. Is Christelle here? She is. She's down there with baby Isabel. She's got her hand up there. Christelle is our connect group overseer. And she works exceptionally hard trying to allow people, trying to get people into connect groups. Groups of 6 or 8 or 10 or sometimes bigger, whereby you can get into this. You can start reading the word. We run a men's connect group here at Wednesday morning at 7 o'clock every second Wednesday. And this week we're going to be talking about the life of Peter. Peter, who was a bit of a rogue. Peter, who had a little bit of that open the mouth before engaging the brain type scenario. Don't we all have that? Praise God. Not you, Krause. We're going to talk about Peter in the Word. But I encourage you, over these next few weeks, as connect groups are reintroduced into the life of the church, I've had a bit of a hiatus over January, that speak to the church office. And we will try and fit it. We try and do the best we can trying to fit people in. But get engaged, get connected with people into connect groups, and you can study the Word of God with that. All right, back to 1 Samuel. I got really distracted there, didn't I? 1 Samuel, are we in 1 Samuel? Seriously, stop distracting me. Have you ever regretted anything? Your intentions were good and fair, but it just didn't work out the way you thought. In 1 Samuel 15:35, we're going back a little bit, you don't have to turn there, we read a passage where Samuel, who would end up being Israel's last judge, we're going to be a little bit more teaching this morning, is that okay? We're going to get a little bit more teaching today. But Israel, Samuel, who would be Israel's last judge, was grieving over the choice of Saul as king. We read it in the Word. In fact, it actually even says in the last verse in 1 Samuel 15, it says this. It says, the Lord regretted that He had made Saul king over Israel. The Lord regretted. Seriously, I thought the Lord did everything right. The Lord regretted that He had made Saul king over Israel. But this is the great part. This is the part I love. Because in the very next verse, the first verse of 1 Samuel 16, God didn't allow the situation to speak defeat. In the end of 1 Samuel 15, it says, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. How good is it that not a word has been missed out in this Bible? Not a word. Because the very next verse, God starts talking to Samuel and says to him, how long are you going to start grieving over this? How long are you going to do this? He doesn't allow defeat. He doesn't allow the situations that we face, and we will face challenges every day. Let me tell you that. But he doesn't allow them any time, not even a verse. The Lord regretted, and then straight away he says, I'm not going to be having defeat spoken over this. We're going to do something about this. God says to Samuel in nice terms, get over it, deal with it, let's build this nation. Today we are starting a series called Speak Life. And this is a series that I'm looking forward to. I encourage you to follow our social media if you're into social media, because we have a lot of verses will go up there. We have a lot of screens will go up there on our social media. Ones like this. Some of the things we will do on there is that during the week you get the opportunities, and we will put things up there that can continue to encourage you to speak life. Because remember, we talk about that the fact that this is a great 90 minutes where we get fed, but we go beyond Sunday. We want to walk the journey with you Monday morning. So when you're feeling a little bit ordinary, go onto the website. Go on to C3 Hobart, go on to our Instagram, whatever you guys do, and start speaking life into what we do. As we get into this series today, I'm just going to set a few little things up with it. But today, I want to get to the point and say that speaking life doesn't finish with 1 Samuel 15, where it said the Lord regretted that he made Saul king over Israel. Speaking life will not be our end game, but our starting point. Who believes that? Who believes in the situations that we are facing, that speaking life can be our starting point? Whether you're 10, whether you're 15, whether you're going through school, whether you're 70 and starting a new career that you thought, I was going one way. I had an incredible chat with Hank. I love the opportunity I get to meet with this man. I love it. Because you can just, if you put yourself and be humble, you can gain so much wisdom. But he said, I thought I was going one way at 68 or 69 or wherever it was around there. But God said, no, there's some more work to be done here. So it doesn't matter what age you're at. It's about looking at the things we have and saying, we're going to speak life into this. So my prayer this morning, and as we start this series, it is, I believe he's going to be more than just a 4-week, let's just finish this at the end of February, is that if you feel life is robbing you, then over this next period of time, God will replace that sense of defeat with a call of victory. Come on, church, eh? God will replace the sense of defeat with a call of victory. He will replace your feelings of pain with the knowledge of victory. Okay, we're going back to 1 Samuel. I've preached before on how the world has this tendency to say to us, I can't. Spoke a few months ago on that. When God says, I already have. 1 Samuel 16 showed us that David was anointed to be the king when all the other options had been exhausted. When Samuel came to appoint a king, Jesse, David's father, presented every other option, everything else. He gave him everything else. And he even had to be prompted to consider David. Do we kind of feel like that sometimes? Every other option's been exhausted, and we're the last man standing. The last bloke picked in the basketball team. Actually, we're the ones where they hope that there's odd numbers, because it's like, oh, you just score today or you be the referee. In this situation here, Jesse had, you know, given his first son, strong and mighty. Second son, went through the whole gamut of them. And then he was even prompted, oh, I've got one more fella out there. He's looking after the goats and the sheep. A king is supposed to be a mighty warrior, aren't they? That's what we know them as. A king is supposed to be a mighty warrior. A soldier, a leader of men, a fearless, mighty man. Isn't it ironic? Because this is what a king's supposed to be. And David was a shepherd boy. But isn't it ironic that the one who his father described as a simple shepherd, the one that his own father described as the simple shepherd looking after the sheep and the goats, would not only be a mighty man and a warrior, but he would lead the mighty men. The one where his father, the one where society said, no, you've got a job stuck here. You're looking after the sheep and the goats. God would use him to not just be the mighty man, but to lead the mighty men. Isn't it just God's way that the one who was spoken about after the fact would be the apple of God's eye? The one who God would call a man after his own heart. What an honor that would be. Can you imagine that? I was speaking with Rosie Martin, you know, and this incredible awarded title that she's been given of Tasmanian Australian of the Year. That's incredible. And we should celebrate these things. Imagine if you were David and you were called a man after his own heart, after the heart of God. What a title that would be. Isn't it just God's humor to see that the one who had a precursor of but, because as he spoke about it, Jesse said, but I've got one more out in the paddocks. So it's kind of like God's humor that the one who had the but put in front of his anointing as a king would go on to be a monumental figure of our Bible history. The one that through Samuel, God said, this is the one, anoint him. He was the but. He had the but in front of him. And this is the one, anoint him. Don't allow the buts of this world to speak into your life. I can't serve because I'm not one of the chosen ones. I can't share my testimony because I don't know the Bible well enough. I can't raise my hands in church because others might laugh at me. I can't come to church because my friends will have a go at me. I can't because the world will tell me I can't. I'm telling you, the Bible says you can. In the passage we want to read in chapter 17, we find war. War is brewing again. War was always brewing around these times. Wars and battles were commonplace, especially during the Philistines and the Israelites. On one side, we've got the Israelites who are encamped on a hill, assembling their forces. Can I have my forces starting coming over here? Over on this side here. On one side, we've got the Israelites. On one side, we've got the Philistines. The Philistines are gathering their forces. What a force these guys are. Have a look at them. My goodness me. Hey? These guys are some serious forces. You can put them around your neck, guys. Do you know, the Bible talks about in the passages that both sides had strong armies. Both sides in this period of time probably used similar equipment. Now, you can stand tall. The Israelites are encamped on one hill. We haven't got them, just pretend they're over here. The Philistines are gathering their forces for war, strong forces. Actually, Stu, you've got some stuff behind you there, behind the speakers. You can gather for war, man. What I want to tell you, though, is that both teams, both sides of the valley, they were encamped either side of the valley. The Israelites were here, the Philistines were over here. They probably used the same weapons, they probably used the same techniques. But I want to say this to you. In Exodus 23, it says this, I, the Lord God, will establish your borders from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines, from the desert to the river. I will, the Lord God said, I will hand over to you the people who live in the land and you will drive them out. Is that life spoken into somebody? I will and you will drive them out. That's what the Lord God said to them. The team that are standing over here, God had already proclaimed upon this army who were facing down a series of strong, mighty people with a big giant in the middle. Have a look at him. But the Lord had already proclaimed to them and said, I will, you will drive them out. So wouldn't they have just walked up and said, see you later, you're gone? But see, what happened is the world showed them a different view. When God spoke these words of promise over the Israelites, he said, I will, you will drive them out. The fight should have been over like this. Walk up there, see you later, guys, you're done. But you know what happened is the same thing that happens to us now, is that we look at all of these things in our life and we are defeated. You with me here, church? We look at all of these things and we face them. And even though God has said to us, I will, you will drive them out, We look at this and we go, no, I can't because I've got anger in my life. No, I can't because I'm prideful. I've got lust. I've been defeated. I'm greedy. I've got offense. I've got hurt. We could put 50 up there. So even though God says, I will, you will drive them out. I will send my son. I did send my son. He did die on the cross. We look at this. And each and every day as we wake up, we're faced with this. Verse 4 to 7, you can go to the second one. I missed the first slide, that's all right. Go to the second one. A giant nearly 10 foot tall stepped out from the Philistine line. Step out from the Philistine line. This was Goliath from Gath. He had a bronze helmet on his head and he was dressed in armor, 126 pounds of it. He wore bronze shin guards and carried a bronze sword, kind of. His spear was like a fence rail. The spear tip alone weighed over 15 pounds. His shield bearer walked ahead of him. His shield bearer was crying over here somewhere. His shield bearer walked ahead of him. Goliath stood. Verse 8. Goliath stood and shouted a taunt. Goliath stood and called out to the Israelite army that had already had life spoken over them. God had already proclaimed to them, I will, you will drive them out. But Goliath stood there and called out to the Israelite troops, you don't have to do it. Why bother using your whole army? Am I not Philistine enough for you? And you're all committed to Saul, aren't you? So pick your best fighter and pit him against me. If he gets the upper hand, he starts taunting him. Doesn't life taunt us? If I get the upper hand and kill him, you'll become our slaves and serve us. I'll challenge the troops of Israel this day. Give me a man, let us fight it out together. Not a single blow had been dealt between these two armies. They're on either side of the valley. Not a single blow had been done. Not a glancing sword, even though he had long arms and could do it, he couldn't reach. But the words of fear had defeated an army. Not a single blow had been done. Not a man had been lost. But the words of defeat, which went against God's words of proclamation and speaking life, had already defeated an entire army. Do you feel like you're in a time of your life sometimes when despite what has been spoken over you, despite the promises on your life, you find yourself camped on one side and these issues are right against you, you can step back to you. People will speak life into you. We can walk in here for 90 minutes and it's going to be a message of life and hope and joy and God's forgiveness. But what we do is the words of anger come against us. The words of pride come against us. The words of lust for materials in the world, for whatever it might be, come against us. The words of greed. We take offense at people. We take offense at things that are said, and we feel hurt. And because of these things that are in front of us, we are defeated. Can I have the team back up, please? I want to tell you this morning, we're going to step over a line. As a church, we're going to walk a journey together. There is a valley in between. There was a valley in between the Israelites and the Philistines. And the Israelites, it says at the end of 1 Samuel 17, they were terrified and afraid. God had spoken life into them and they were terrified and afraid because of what was in front of them. One man came out and taunted them and they had fear. A whole army had fear. This morning, as we start this series, as we move forward, as a church community, because although Morella and I have stepped into a role, we all play a role in this. Each one of us plays a role alongside our friend who is struggling, alongside our friends where things have gone broken. It might be that you've had a new baby. And you know what? You're just not coping, not sleeping. And you're getting cranky in your relationships. Timmy Kaye spoke last week on unforgiveness. And it may be still that you heard that message, but you're still struggling with what that means because you just can't come to the point of forgiving somebody. Or more importantly, you can't come to the point of forgiving yourself. I want to tell you this, church. Together, as we walk as a church, anger will be gone. Because Proverbs 14:29 says, "He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exposes and exalts his foolishness." Together, we can get rid of anger. Pride. It may be that pride is an issue in your life. I want to speak this over you. It says from James 4:10, "Humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up." Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's lust of what others have in the world. Maybe it's lust of whatever it might be. I want to tell you in Galatians 5:16, it says, "Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature carves." Maybe it's greed. Maybe you've got this element of in your life. Every time you want to speak life, this comes into you. Every time you want to step forward, what God has said, there's a greed comes. I'm telling you in Hebrews 13:5, it says, "Keep free from the love of greed. Be content with what you have, because God has said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you." Maybe you're someone who takes offense. People don't mean to offend. Annie used to say this all the time. I loved it. But you take offense all the time. I want to tell you something here. It says in Ephesians 4:2, "Be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make allowances for each other. Make allowances for each other's faults." Because why? Because of your love. Because of what God has done for you. Maybe you're hurt. Maybe you're hurt. You heard Tim's preach last week, but you're still hurt. You're struggling. Something's happened in your life and you can't get over this and you are still hurt. Hurt breaks us down. Hurt hurts us. I want to tell you, it says in Romans 8:8, in what is a beautiful passage, it says, "Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us." Maybe in life you feel defeated. You've tried everything. You've tried everything you can and you say, "Yeah, I'm beating all these things, but I am defeated. I am broken. I can't do this anymore." I want to tell you something, church. You can do this. I still sit on one committee with the Department of Health, and that's the Tasmanian Suicide Prevention Committee. Why? Because every life matters. Every life matters. And I asked the Minister of Health if I could stay on that, and he said, "Absolutely." And why do people get to that point? Because they feel defeated. They feel like there's nowhere to go. They feel like that they can't beat what is there in their life. I want to tell you this. It says right here in Romans 10:9, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Let's everyone stand to our feet. Everyone stand to our feet. We're going to worship right now. We're going to worship a mighty God that proclaimed to the Israelites back in Exodus right at the start and said, you will drive them out. I'm telling you right now, he is saying to you, he is standing with you. He is your guiding force. He's given us a pretty good manual on how to do this, and he gives us the Holy Spirit to work with us. And so in each one of these things here, I'm going to encourage you just in your own lives right now, just where you stand, is to, as we worship and praise God now, is to speak life into those areas. If you feel hurt, if you feel anger, if you feel greed, if you feel lust, if you feel pride, whatever it might be, if you feel defeated, I want you right where you are to raise your hands as we sing and to speak life into what God is doing in your life. Because if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
We're going to sing holy. And I'll sing holy.